मैटर ऑफ तत् देर गोत्रस्य ऑफ द डिसेंडेंट आत एक्सेप्टेड बांधव एज अ फ्रेंड. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is very dear to the sons of King Pandu, has accepted me as one of those relatives just to please his great cousins and brothers. Purport. A pure and exclusive devotee of the Lord serves his family interest more dexterously than others who are attached to illusory family affairs. Generally, people are attached to family matters, and the whole economic impetus of human society is moving under the influence of family affection. Such deluded persons have no information that one can render better service to the family by becoming a devotee of the Lord. The Lord gives special protection to the family members and descendants of a devotee, even though such members are themselves non-devotees. Maharaj Prahlad was a great devotee of the Lord, but his father Hiranyakashipu was a great atheist and declared enemy of the Lord. But despite all this, Hiranyakashipu was awarded salvation due to his being the father of Maharaj Prahlad. The Lord is so kind that he gives all protection to the family members of his devotee, and thus the devotee has no need to bother about his family members, even if one leaves such family members aside to discharge devotional service. Maharaj Yudhishthira and his brothers were the sons of Kunti, the paternal aunt of Lord Krishna, and Maharaj Parikshit admits the patronage of Lord Krishna because of his being the only grandson of the great Pandavas. So we continue with our discussion on the prayers, the theme of the Srimad Bhagavatam's prayers, and we have discussed in the first lecture in this series that prayer is offered as what? As praise, praising the Lord's name, form, qualities and pastimes. And then in last time's discussion we saw prayers are offered as a matter of thanksgiving or expression of gratitude. So, one offers gratitude to the Lord for the sake of four things. One expresses gratitude when the devotee experiences prosperity that we discussed last time. Second, we express gratitude when the devotee experiences adversity. And then third is what we will discuss today, third and fourth. A devotee expresses gratitude to the Lord when the Lord intervenes in his life. Intervention. And this particular verse which has been written on the board and the theme verse for today is basically Maharaj Parikshit expressing gratitude to Lord Krishna for intervening at a time of great emergency. Tasmat namna Vishnurata iti loke bhavishyati na sandeho mahabhaga mahabhagavato mahan. Although he is mahabhag, supremely fortunate for having seen Krishna within the womb of his mother, but the Bhagavatam is revealing even those who are fortunate to see Krishna in the womb of the mother cannot be guaranteed insurance and protection against unforeseen calamities before time. And therefore, there is no connection between Krishna darshan and Vipatti darshan. Even if one has had Krishna darshan, Vipatti or calamity can come anytime. And therefore, Maharaj Parikshit, through his consciousness, is helping us reverse our definition of calamity. Because so far our definition of calamity is an unexpected change in our plans or an unexpected, unforeseen intervention in our plans. A sudden short-circuiting of our plans. That is our current idea of calamity. But right from the first canto, Maharaj Parikshit, while hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, proving himself as a bona fide hearer of the Bhagavatam, is expressing through the verse which we had discussed, or which we are like going to discuss next, in the next part, is he is saying that I am more concerned, people are concerned about destruction of the body, and they consider in this life destruction of the body to be the greatest calamity. And there cannot be a greater calamity than the destruction of the body, and today the world is facing this situation, and the whole world has united. On very rare occasions the world unites. The world has united because the entire world is under the siege of a prospective destruction of body. So the destruction of the body is accepted as the greatest calamity. And to preserve the destruction of the body, one is willing to experience destruction of economy. One is willing to experience destruction of all other kinds of plans. But body must be saved. So therefore it is the greatest calamity to lose the body. But Parikshit is saying that the greatest calamity is not destruction of the body. For Vaishnavas, the greatest calamity is the distraction of the mind. So the distraction of the mind is considered a greater calamity than the destruction of body. And that class of people who are convinced that I will protect my mind from being distracted as a greater priority than the destruction of my body and my other physical necessities, that class are the Vaishnavas, are the devotees. Because that's what then the example of all the Brajavasis in Vrindavan demonstrate. They are totally absorbed and focused in serving Krishna. And so Maharaj Parikshit expresses his gratitude to the Lord for intervening. For intervening and sending the great personality, the surgeon who will not save the body, but the surgeon who will save the mind from disease, which is Shukadev Goswami. That at this moment, the best person who can come to help me remain focused in my mind on how to serve and please Krishna has manifested. Not because of my qualification. Krishna Pandusuta Priya Paitra Swaseya Prityartham Yad Gotra Syatta Bandhava. Because of Krishna's unlimited compassion upon my forefathers, upon the Pandavas. Like that. And therefore, this is, an expression of gratitude being manifested by Maharaj Parikshit. And when Gargacharya comes for the name-giving ceremony of Krishna, Pujita Sukham Asinam Prishtva Anamayam, Prishtva Anamayam Adrita, Prasakta Dhihi Swatma Jayoho Idam Aha Vishampate. So, yeah, actually when our Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev meet, when Nanda Maharaj after Nandotsav comes for giving the taxes to Kamsa. So Nanda is experiencing increased bliss while celebrating Nandotsav. But he is willing to compromise and sacrifice his ananda and go to Mathura and take a break from his exceedingly increasing ananda just so that Krishna's interests can be protected. And therefore Vrindavan is a plane which is simply filled with the consciousness of let us do that which can help Krishna's interests. So when he goes there and Vasudev sees him, and Vasudev and they embrace each other, Pujita Sukham Asinam Prishtva Anamayam Adrita, and asks about his welfare, Prasakta Dhihi Sva Atma Jayoho Idam Aha Vishampate. So actually at this point Vasudev's mind is completely absorbed and throbbing with anxiety about what has happened to my son. Vasudev's mind is only filled with that anxiety. His mind is overflowing with that anxiety. It is saturated with thoughts of Krishna. But he does not bring Krishna's mention on his tongue. Because if he mentions about that, then Nanda Maharaj may get suspicious and he may understand maybe there is a relationship with Vasudev of that boy. So therefore, in this situation, Vasudev is expressing the highest quality of love, that mind is simply resonating and radiating with the thoughts of Krishna. But on his tongue, he brings topics which are totally not directly connected to Krishna. So therefore, Krishna consciousness is not what I speak, or not the words I say, not the movements of the hands and the legs. In front of Krishna is not Krishna consciousness, but it is the intention. Anukulena Krishna Anushilanam. The intention to serve and please Krishna is actually the real essence of Krishna consciousness. And therefore, Vasudev has an intention to serve Krishna and please Krishna, and Vasudev wants to protect Krishna. And therefore, in order to protect Krishna, he is indirectly asking Nanda Maharaj, and he says, Dishtya Bhrata Prabhayasa Idanim Aprajasati Prajashaya Nibrittasya Prajatat Samapadyata. So he's saying, Dishtya, by the divine will, by the divine intervention of destiny, Bhrata Prabhayasa, although, oh my dear brother, you were very advanced in age. Nanda Maharaj was quite old when Krishna was, you know, was born. So, although you are in advanced age, Idanim Aprajasyate, and you were without a son so far, Prajashaya Nibrittasya, and you had practically given up any hope for having children. But still, Prajatat Samapadyata, still you got, you know, a boy at this particular stage. And therefore, he is again and again using the word Praja, because he knows that the person who is born has been actually a girl. but he has exchanged the girl with Krishna. And therefore he is not expressing that, how's your son? Because if he says, how's your son, that would mean that he is speaking a half-truth. Because he knows that Nanda Maharaj actually got a daughter. And therefore, now if I ask, how's your daughter, then he'll be confused, right? I got a son. So therefore, he cannot say son, he cannot say daughter, so he uses the general word, praja. Praja, praja, praja. Idanim aprajasati, praja shaya nivrittasya, praja tat samapadyata. So the word praja he uses 3 times. Through this he indicates that one has to be, those who are followers of the absolute truth have to be extremely careful in speaking truth to the other devotees. And therefore that same Vasudev, being a Kshatriya, had spoken half-truth to protect Devaki in front of Kamsa. So diplomacy was part of his nature. Rajamantri Ramananda Vyavahare Nipun Rajapriti Kohe Dravaila Prabhurman. थोड़ा और कुछ सुधर सकता है क्या? रहा नहीं जा रहा मेरे से पूछने के, पता नहीं यहाँ का आपका मैक्सिमम होगा तो ठीक है, जो भी हो, हम लोग क्या थोड़ा चौपाटी की आदत है ना, थोड़ा 5-star साउंड सिस्टम का आदत है, इसलिए आदत बिगड़ गई है। इनकी गलती नहीं, हमारी गलती। सो प्रजा, हाँ करो करो। हरे कृष्णा। बाकी कोई सुने न सुने, कम से कम कथाकार तो सुनता है अपना तो वो सुख भी ले लिया तो फिर क्या बच गया है कि नहीं? हरे कृष्णा। आरती के बीच में पुजारी जाते नहीं है ना, वैसे ही कथा शुरू होने से अंत तक ये ऑल्टर है आपका, ऐसा नहीं अगरबत्ती दिखा के घूमने निकल गया फिर बाद में आया, अरे अभी चलो चामर दिखा देते हैं। पता नहीं जो भी आपका इंचार्ज है, मैं अपना एक छोटा सा निवेदन बता रहा हूं। तो दिस इज अ वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट प्रिंसिपल दैट वसुदेव एंड नंद महाराज दे आर हैविंग दिस कन्वर्सेशन एंड वसुदेव बेसिकली इज एक्सप्रेसिंग दैट हाउ I am feeling so grateful to that Supreme who has intervened and given a son or praja in your life. You know, so therefore that praja has come by the intervention of the divine will. And therefore he says in the next verses, Naikatra Priya Samvasa Suhurdam Chitra Karmanam Oghena Vyuha Mananam Plavanam Srota Suyata. Certain people we like and we love to spend time with them. Others we don't like and every moment with them appears like a yuga. But whom we spend time with and whom we remain away from, it is not in our hands. It is only by the divine intervention. And therefore, whatever we opportunities we get, we should express the Lord our gratitude for that intervention. He is intervening by giving us this particular facility. And in that, the main test is how we are able to kind of express that gratitude to Him. Similarly, when Akrura enters into Vrindavan, and then as his chariot is entering into Vrindavan and he has brought the brand new chariot which has not been used because he did not want Krishna to use Kamsa's used chariot. So he's brought a brand new chariot. And as he's entering, he's contemplating about his great fortune. And then he says that actually the problem with us is not lack of opportunities, but lack of our cognizance or our attention, of paying attention to those opportunities which we receive. And therefore he says, maivam mamadhamasyapi syat evachyuta darshanam hriyamana kalanadya kvachit tarati kashchana. The secret for a joyful life is not lack of opportunities or getting opportunities. When there are no opportunities, we may think we will be distressed. When I get opportunities, I'll be happy. Opportunities may come, but joy and satisfaction depends on our conscious recognition of those opportunities. And the biggest problem is we do not recognize majority of the opportunities consciously. And therefore Srila Prabhupada has established the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So that lack of that consciousness creates lack of taste, lack of satisfaction, lack of a sense of stability and security. And therefore, temple, deities, spiritual places have been created to give us opportunities to actually express our gratitude. An expression of gratitude is a recognition, and it is an opportunity for us to recognize. And so he says, Akrura is saying, maivam mamadhamasyapi, I am so adham, I am so fallen. But syat evachyuta darshanam, but even a fallen person with no qualification is about to get an opportunity to have achyuta's darshan. How is that? Hriyamana, I have simply been pulled by kalanadya, by the river of time. Kvachit tarati kashchana, just like a person is just swimming and doesn't know swimming, and the river current is so fast, he'll be pulled towards the, you know, either pulled towards the bank or he will drown. But if he's pulled towards the bank, it is his fortune, because he really did not put any major effort. He's just moving hand and leg, but the current is so heavy, what he can do? So therefore, the cause of bringing him to the bank is not his moving his hands and legs. Kvachit tarati kashchana, the waves moved this way, that way, current pulled him and he came. So he says, all of us, amongst billions and trillions of souls, how we have achieved association of devotees, that event itself is a cause for a celebration every moment. Hriyamana kalanadya kvachit tarati kashchana. And all of us came to Krishna consciousness in all kinds of unique, strange, inconceivable ways. And further, we stayed on in Krishna consciousness in even more strange ways. And everybody has a unique story, right? But the fact is, it was intervention. Do I recognize that intervention? Do I remember that intervention? So therefore, kvachit tarati kashchana. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada again and again refers to the fact that Krishna consciousness is a movement where we are recognizing Krishna's personality. And he's a person. So it is not random that we are just here and started chanting his names. And he has embraced us and brought us closer. And brought us closer to those whom he loves the most, the devotees. Just the fact that we are with the devotees itself is an indication that Krishna has been extremely kind and very pleased with us to give us this opportunity. And therefore, you know, Srila Prabhupada would become very offended with the impersonalists because they do not recognize the personal will of the Lord. Intervention means somebody is intervening. Is it not? A person. And that is the biggest problem when Prabhupada came to India and he was preaching with his devotees. And practically majority of those wherever Prabhupada was invited, they were all impersonalists. And they would not recognize the Lord's form, the Lord's will, the Lord's personality. But still Prabhupada would, because he did not have much opportunities, so the devotees, the first batch of devotees arrived around Ram Navami of 1970 to India. 17 of them came in the cheapest possible flight, which took 6 stops on the way. And including it stopped at, you know, Egypt. On the day, Nasser, President Nasser was assassinated that time. 1970, Nasser, N-A-S-S-E-R. And then the whole country was in mourning, military was everywhere. And the devotees thought, oh, the plane is refueling, let us get down and have Harinam. So they got down with Mridang, Kartal, everything, and 17 of them having ecstatic kirtan. And Gurudas Prabhu was there, thought, I'll take some pictures of this, because it is part of the India story. So he started clicking pictures, and suddenly as he was clicking pictures, from behind he saw at least half a dozen military men coming with guns to shoot these devotees. So he thought, I should do something. He ran, and the devotees were oblivious. They were in Harinam. They didn't see these soldiers coming. He went up to them and stopped the soldiers. And the soldiers said, what is this going on? And they said, they are all big fans of Nasser and they are having condolence and singing song remembering Nasser. So the guns they put down, I said, oh, let them continue. And then inside that plane, he describes all kinds of stuff was there, you know, including animals and everything was, you know, being transported. It was a very unique kind of semi, you know, aircraft with both passenger and animals in it, all jivas. So that landed on Ram Navami in Mumbai. And so immediately within a week or so, Prabhupada was invited to go to Amritsar. And that's where, when Prabhupada was in Amritsar, Srila Prabhupada, he went there because of this sammelan only. It was all Mayavadis. But Prabhupada saw, okay, wherever we get opportunity, go. And so that is where, when Prabhupada spoke very heavily, many people did not like, and Gurudas Prabhu spoke very heavily, he was banned from speaking after that. So then at night, one Mayavadi could not resist. He came to Gurudas Prabhu and he said, whatever you may have said in the day, but ultimately everything is one. He said, "Are, how you are saying like that?" He said, "Yes." And that Mayavadi made a mistake. He took out one thread and showed it to Gurudas Prabhu and said, "Everything is one. This thread is same as this blanket. All one." So Gurudas Prabhu immediately took the blanket and said, "You keep the thread. I take the blanket away. And then you see." This happened like in the month of December and it was extremely cold. So this guy within 2 hours came and woke Gurudas Prabhu, said, give me the blanket back. I think you are right. Everything is not one. So Gurudas Prabhu said, I will only give you if tomorrow you go and surrender in front of my Guru, Srila Prabhupada, and accept this. And the guy was shivering out of cold. He was willing to do anything. Give me the blanket, I'll do it. So next day he went and apologized to Srila Prabhupada. So the circumstances under which Srila Prabhupada established ISKCON in India is such that in today's opulent times of unlimited association, we cannot even imagine how the initial preaching was established. And therefore, you know, Mahaprabhu, he tells Murari Gupta that Sai Bhakta Dhanya Yena Chhade Prabhu Charan, Sai Prabhu Dhanya Yena Chhade Nijajan. Durdaive Sevaka Jadi Yai Anyasthane Sai Takur Dhanya Thare Chule Dhuryane. That the Lord is so merciful that even if the devotee deviates a little bit, he will not allow. He will somehow bring that person back. So yes, the Indian population had become totally, you know, oblivious to their own tradition and Sanatana Dharma. But Srila Prabhupada intervened and brought Krishna consciousness to India. And when Prabhupada came with the American disciples in the initial days, one of the biggest food distribution program began. And so, you know, one of Prabhupada's disciples was in Vrindavan and he was surrounded by all local people and they all started shouting, CIA, 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 calling them CIA agents. Because that was like very common, that Hare Krishnas are all CIA agents. So this devotee looked at all of them and said that actually if you say we are CIA, we must have come to steal something from here. We are from America. What is here materially so opulent and so sophisticated that we can steal? And then he took out his pen and that was leaking. There was ink all over. And he says, see this? This is your pen here. It does not work properly. Is it worth stealing? Is it worth taking? What we will do as CIA? In fact, there are only two things in this country worth stealing. First is the knowledge of Sanatana Dharma, the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavat. And then the second is the recipe of Gulab Jamun. And the crowd became happy. Ha, jai, 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 jai. Maharaj ki jai. And they started embracing and became friendly. So within one moment, whole mood changed. So then Prabhupada heard about this and Prabhupada said to Gurudas Prabhu that you should go and meet the government and correct this. They should, you know, make a statement that these are like bona fide people and it's not CIA agent. What is this? We are doing so much for the country. I am representing the Sanatana Dharma all over the world, the greatest ambassador ever. And we are being, you know, branded as CIA agent. So Gurudas Prabhu actually went and took appointment of Umashankar Dikshit, who at that time was the home minister of Indira Gandhi. And he heard him out about the CIA business, this, that, and he said, I know, that is the perception all over India, that Hare Krishnas are CIA. And then Umashankar Dikshit said, personally I know, what you are doing is good, you are bona fide. But what to do? India is a secular country. So we cannot make statement for, we cannot make statement against anybody. But you know what? The main reason why we are allowing this propaganda to continue is your food distribution program was so effective and so powerful and became so popular, it made the government of India look stupid. And therefore, as a matter of policy, we will allow people to think that you are not bona fide. I am revealing to you. So I was just thinking how the wheel has turned one full circle in the same Delhi. So this is a statement made in 1971. Exactly, what, 50 years ago? It has taken 50 years for the government in Delhi to recognize, oh, ISKCON is our partner. It's there. And then Gopal Krishna Maharaj, you know, defending ISKCON in the parliament. And it is there in the minutes of the parliament. Hare Krishna movement and ISKCON, is it CIA or not? It's there in the parliament minutes. Proceedings of the Lok Sabha. So therefore, for anything to change, it takes time. It takes consistent effort. It takes fair degree of resilience and willingness to continue on in spite of all opposition. And if you see that 8-minute video which has been created by Kejriwal government, and then you contrast, you know, with this pastime you keep on the side, you'll just think, what's going on? Is it the same Delhi? Is it the same Sarkar? Because in any relationship, there may be some initial misunderstanding. But it takes time for people to really acknowledge that you do not have devious intentions. You have pure intentions. And therefore, this is the third principle with respect to prayer of thanksgiving. The second element of prayer is thanksgiving. So we offer gratitude in prosperity, in adversity, and third is for the Lord's intervention. Fourth is we offer prayers to the Lord in gratitude for allowing us to remember Him. So remembrance of Krishna is not a karmic product. The brain which we possess and the memory which we have, it is a product of our karma. But Krishna is completely transcendental. And one cannot say that I will remember Krishna because I have got a good memory. No. Mattaha smritir jnanam apohanam cha. So that crucial factor of who can remember Krishna when, that key lies with Krishna Himself. And therefore, if I chant and I am able to remember Krishna, I should express gratitude. Oh, you have allowed me to remember you. It is your mercy. And so in that context, Parikshit Maharaj's verse that Tammo Payantam Pratyantu Vipra Ganga Cha Devi Drajitamishe Dvijopasrishta Kuhakas Takshakuva Dashatvalam Gayata Vishnugatha. I have been given an ecosystem, a facility by which remembrance of Krishna is enhanced. So I should express gratitude. I got the Sangha where Katha is going on, where Kirtan is going on. In this pandemic situation, remember all the ecstatic festivals you had, where there was pure social proximity. Right? Social distancing in Chopati temple in festival. When Radhanath Swami is giving class. I cannot imagine how we managed so much. Temples like Tirupati are lying vacant at this stage. So therefore, just the fact that remembrance of Krishna needs association, and any kind of this disease or things like that can attack the very foundation of our ability to remember. It can separate devotee from another devotee. It make the entire process of Sankirtan under question mark. So if you are allowed to do Sankirtan, and if you are allowed to be in a position to remember, that actually we should express our gratitude to Krishna for allowing us to remember Him. And therefore Prabhupada said to Bhurijan Prabhu, one who comes to Krishna consciousness is fortunate. One who does not come is unfortunate. But one who comes and is unable to intensify his remembrance, purify his consciousness, and ultimately attain perfection, he is most unfortunate, because he got the opportunity. And therefore, when Akruraji, he sees Krishna's footprint on the ground of Braj and starts rolling on the ground, at that time he says, Deha bhritan iyan artho hitva dambham bhiyam shucham sandeshatyo harer linga darshana shravanadi. He says that the greatest fortune in life is whenever you get any uddipan or any stimulus by which you can remember Krishna. Either you look at a temple spire and then you remember the Lord. That's why temples are designed in a specific way to ignite that remembrance. You see the deities, you hear katha, you do kirtan. All of these are opportunities by which we remember Krishna. So he says, carrying a body over millions of lifetimes in different species is the biggest burden. Right? Just like I see that, you know, devotees carry heavy buckets of prasadam from the kitchen to the ashram. It's, you know, some exercise for sure carrying it. But why you are carrying it? Because you know that it is worth carrying this weight. And there are like 70 people whose pleasure and displeasure depend on your ability to carry that safely. So therefore, the body is full of sharira avidya jal. So many problems, so many difficulties. So Akrur says, material life is miserable. The only thing which makes life in this material body worth living is sandeshat yo harer linga darshana shravanadi bhi. The eyes may give so much trouble. So many kinds of diseases are possible with the eyes. But what is the advantage? You can see Krishna with the eyes. The ear, the throat, the tongue, the this, the that, everything have so many problems, but at least we can connect with Krishna through all of this. Sandeshatyo harer linga darshana shravanadibi. Therefore, we should express our gratitude to the Lord that we are able to connect with Krishna in all these forms. I first was brought to Radha Gopinath temple by one of my cousins who is deaf and dumb. He cannot speak, he cannot hear from childhood, he and his sister both. So they were having a deaf association meeting in Grant Road. And there was one person who was part of their association, who was a brahmachari, who is the one who preached to Radha Gopinath Prabhu. Because Radha Gopinath Prabhu was his doctor in Bangalore. And by their sessions, you know, he was already a devotee. He preached to Radha Gopinath Prabhu, and Radha Gopinath Prabhu kind of got connected to his, like, he was a disciple of Kirtanand Swami, that
Anant Dev. So he connected Radha Gopinath Prabhu from Bangalore. He came straight to Chowpatty. So he is the one who connected me first. 1990 was the first time I went and took darshan of Radha Gopinath. I just went and took darshan and left. I didn't know that this place has anything to do with my life. It was just like a visit, casual visit, Sunday afternoon. And after visit, go to Chowpatty Beach with all those deaf people and had bhelpuri. 5 years later, I was distributing khichdi in the same place, Chowpatty Beach. I was dumbfounded with Krishna's plan that ye kya ho gaya. I just remember came here, took darshan, and all those deaf and dumb people, they came. And so incidentally, inspired by that, so now we have just in the last ISKCON India meetings, we have resolved to start the Hare Krishna Deaf Association in India. So we have started the movement for Hare Krishna to preach to the deaf community. So we have two devotees who have been assigned the responsibility of leading it. I'm part of that committee. And, you know, if you see Muslims, Christians, Jews, they have thousands of resources for transmitting their knowledge of their scriptures to deaf people. It's astonishing how much work has happened. Hindus have nothing to communicate with the deaf, because we are so busy meditating on our own problems. So this devotee from Bangalore, another person, and one more, and there is one more called Samresh in Delhi, who is an interpreter for the deaf, whose parents were deaf. He is a son of deaf parents, but he has a passion now to help, so he is an interpreter. And one more, Pavitra Mataji Bhakti Charu Maharaj. At least 4 or 5 initiated deaf devotees are there in ISKCON. So when you are with them, I've grown up with these cousins, so I know for them even to be able to hear one sound once in their lifetime is a luxury. And we keep hearing the sound and go to sleep. That is our luxury. So when you don't have that facility, then you realize. Just like right now, for us, yatra. Can we ever have yatra in future? Kartik yatra. It's a question mark. And then last year, if I had asked somebody, you might say, "Arey, bahut bheed hai yaar yatra mein. Accommodation theek nahi milta." Yeh, wo hai. But abhi bolo. So therefore, we take it for granted. Vrindavan is here. But then we had to have Damodar Prabhu come and reveal consciousness of Vrindavan. And now even if we want to forget, in the ashram you cannot, because somebody or the other is constantly chanting. Satatam kirtayantu. So therefore, the remembrance of the Lord is something which we cannot take for granted. And we can only do it with the grace of the Lord. And so Mahaprabhu says in Madhya Lila, Bhajanera Madhye Sreshtha Navvida Bhakti Krishna Preme Krishna Dite Dhore Mahashakti. That Navvida Bhakti is the best amongst bhajan, and it gives Krishna Prema and it gives Krishna. It has the power. Tara Madhye Sarva Sreshtha Nama Sankirtan Nirapradhe Nama Loile Paye Premadhan. So he says that amongst all these processes, Tara Madhye Sarva Sreshtha Nama Sankirtan, the best is Nama Sankirtan. And in that Nirapradhe Nama Loile Paye Premadhan, by chanting without offenses. And this you know, actually is an extremely important principle. So Srila Prabhupada saw that many devotees in Vrindavan in that initial years, they were feeling kind of casual. And Prabhupada said, staying in Vrindavan is like gambling. And everybody got bewildered. Hey, what is this? So Prabhupada said, why is it like gambling? If you are conscious of Krishna and remember Krishna, you make 100 times profit. And if you are distracted and if you take it casually, then you make 100 times loss, like gambling. So therefore, you know, when we have been given facility of a holy place like this, we should also remember this warning by Srila Prabhupada that being here in this association, we have no option. We cannot now say, why holy place is here? Itna bada jimmedari de diya. No, holy place is here. Now you have no choice. We have no choice but to tune our consciousness accordingly. And it's interesting, Srila Prabhupada, when Prabhupada was in Hyatt Ashbury in San Francisco, and they were about to, you know, install Jagannath, and Prabhupada had come out in the beach and he was giving a talk. It was raining slightly and the devotees held umbrella over Prabhupada, and there was a crowd of hippies standing around, and Prabhupada had to introduce to them who's Jagannath. So Prabhupada said, Lord Jesus Christ, it is described in history, at one point of time came to India, and he came to Kashmir, and he came to Jagannath Puri also, and got some knowledge. Now, Lord Jagannath, in reciprocation with Jesus Christ, has come to California. And the whole crowd clapped. Oh, jai, jai, jai. So Prabhupada created context. Because otherwise these hippies are thinking, what is this? You know, black wooden structure with white eyes and this and that and everything. But Prabhupada knew how to make the connection so that it appeared to be relevant. And so Prabhupada was in, you know, Bombay, and he was talking to a group of devotees. And Prabhupada said, actually, I warned my wife again and again, if you do not allow me to study and, you know, dedicate to Bhagavatam, then I will leave you. But they never took it seriously. And finally, because they sold that Bhagavatam, I had to leave home. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj immediately said, Prabhupada, we are grateful to her because she treated you like that. We have your shelter. And then Prabhupada said, yes, the association of devotees is meant for in enhancing our remembrance, and we have to perform our duties. And then at a certain point in life, when we become advanced enough and when we think we are old enough, then we can go to Mayapur and chant and constantly remember Krishna. And then Prabhupada paused and said, but I am not old enough. So the devotee said, there is no chance for us to go and do that kind of bhajan. So therefore, constant focused remembrance is not an artificial thing. And so, we are gradually getting trained in that process through the bhajan, through the process of Krishna bhakti. And so there is sadhana we do some seva, and all of these things are connected like that. So this is basically the two things about thanksgiving to Krishna in terms of prosperity, adversity, thanking Krishna for intervention and thanking Krishna in allowing us to remember him. Then the third element comes, apart from the first element of prayer is praise, second is thanksgiving, third is request. Devotees pray to Krishna to offer request. How many of you have offered prayer of request? Bhagavan se kuch mange ho kya kabhi? Haath uthao. Sharma kyun rahe ho? What have you requested? Unlimited. So the purpose of prayer is also to express one's request. But what kind of request? That is the most important thing. So there are four things which devotees must aspire to request to the Lord. You're not disallowed from requesting other things also. But this is the ideal four requests to make. First, a devotee prays to the Lord requesting association of devotees. To request for satsanga. And so in that, just after Tammopayantam, the next verse, what does Parikshit say? Punascha bhuyat bhagavati ananta. Rati prasangascha tadashreshu. Let me have unlimited attraction. That attraction can only be cultivated in the association. Let me have that association. Dhruva Maharaj prays what? Bhaktim muhu pravatam tvaime prasango. Let me have that association where I can constantly hear and chant your glories. And what does Sudamaji pray? Tasyaiva me sauhrda sakhya maitri dasyam punar janmani janmani syat. After Sudamaji had been given the entire opulences, in spite of seeing all that opulences, he just did not think, oh, I got money, so let me relax. No. My dear Lord, my aspiration is, let me have three things. Sauhrda, maitri, tasyaiva me, sauhrda, sakhya and maitri. So all the three appear to be quite similar. But there are subtle differences between the three. Let me have devotees who will be my well-wishers. Let me have devotees with whom I can have intimate emotional bonding. And let me have devotees who will be my friends in times of, you know, difficulty, and who can keep me on the path of Krishna consciousness. So therefore, in one of the purports in the 11th canto of Uddhava Gita, Prabhupada mentions, association means one devotee tells another devotee, I am having this challenge in my spiritual life, but this is the Krishna conscious way by which I am trying to overcome it. So that is actually friendship in Krishna consciousness. And another devotee will then express, yes, my difficulty is this, but this is what I am trying, and can you also help me overcome this? And so how we help each other remember Krishna better? By practicing the process, and remember Krishna better by following the regulative principles better. So when we assist each other in enhancing our remembrance of Krishna, that is the ultimate purpose. And so just like when we are meeting in the morning and having discussions on Vrindavan, so whether you like it or not, or want it or not, somehow or the other in the day, you do land up sharing with each other about what I have heard, you know, how my appreciation for this particular aspect of Vrindavan has grown. So we share our appreciation for Krishna consciousness, and we share our challenges we face due to attraction to material nature. So Krishna is attractive, material nature is also attractive. So Prabhupada said, what is the difference between Krishna and Maya? So devotees were confused. Prabhupada said, both are attractive. Krishna is attractive. Maya is also attractive. How many of you have experienced that Maya is attractive? Huh? Kyo bhai, Hari Guruji? No. Maya is also attractive. Krishna is also attractive. So Prabhupada said, what is the difference? If you get attracted by Krishna, you will experience joy. If you get attracted by Maya, you will suffer. So therefore, satsang is meant to help each other get more attracted to Krishna and get detached from attraction to Maya. That's how we help each other. Therefore, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Sanatana Goswami is taking leave of Mahaprabhu from Jagannath Puri, so at that time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is kind of introducing Sanatana Goswami. And he says, Yatha yogya karaila sabar charana bandhan, tare karaila sabar kripara bhajan. Mahaprabhu gets Sanatana Goswami, who is one of the manjaris from the spiritual world, Yatha yogya karaila sabar charana bandhan. Mahaprabhu makes sure that he takes dust of the feet of all the devotees in Jagannath Puri who are there. And tare karaila sabar kripara bhajan. And Mahaprabhu tells all the devotees, you bless him. So in that Vaishnava satsanga, when we serve and please the Vaishnavas, that blessing helps us in three ways. The blessings of the Vaishnavas helps us in remembering Krishna. The blessings of the Vaishnavas helps us in remembering the danger of Maya. When the Maya comes, we remember it is danger. Just like Ajamil could not remember at that time. Right? Stambhayam Atmanatmanam Yavat Shrutvam Yathashrutam Yavat Sattvam Yathashrutam Na Shashaka Samadhatum Mano Madana Vepitam. It was not that Ajamil did not have knowledge. He had knowledge. He had everything in his hard disk. But he forgot which key to press to switch on the laptop. So what will you do? All the data is there. But you can't even figure out the switch on button. How will the data help? So therefore, the blessings of the devotees helps us remember Krishna and helps us remember the danger of Maya. And third, the blessings help us in the fulfillment of our desires while serving. We are all looking for a seva phal. We cannot attain the seva phal without the Vaishnava Kripa. And therefore, Mahaprabhu is about to give a major seva to Sanatana. From Jagannath Puri, he will go to Vrindavan. And Mahaprabhu, therefore, makes sure that Sadgune Panditye Sabar Priya Sanatan Yatha Jogya Kripa Maitri Gaurava Bhajan. So Mahaprabhu recognizes, and all the devotees there in Puri recognize Satgune, all the good qualities which Sanatana Goswami had. Panditye, and his scholarship was also very recognized. Sabar Priya Sanatan, he became very pleasing to all the devotees in Puri. Jatha Yogya, as per their capacity, some senior people gave him Kripa, right? And others who were equal, Maitri, they were very intimately affectionate. And those who were very young, they looked at Sanatana Goswami's spiritual stature and Gaurava and offered respect to him. Bhajan, he became the recipient of Kripa, Maitri, Gaurava. And that association should be utilized by us not as a vehicle for blasphemy, but as a vehicle for receiving kripa, maitri, gaurav. And therefore, you know, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu blesses Rupa and Sanatan, first time in Ramkeli, he says, Janme janme tumidui kinkara amar. Achirate Krishna tomai koribe uddhar. Life after life you have been my servants. Very soon Krishna will deliver you. When the devotees around hear that in Ramkeli, that when Mahaprabhu initiates them, Dui jane prabhu kripa dekhi bhakta gane, hari hari vole sabhe anandita mane. And the devotees become happy on seeing the Lord's mercy on Rup and Sanatan. And Mahaprabhu says, Gauda nikate asite nahi mora prayojan, toma duha dekhite mora iha agaman. The only reason I came via Bengal is to see both of you, because I did not want to enter Vrindavan without having darshan of Brajvasis, those who are going to remain in Braj and create Braj in future. I wanted to first meet them. And therefore, Gauda nikate asite nahi mora prayojan. I had no plans. Toma duha dekhite mora agaman. Therefore, I have come here. Therefore, through Mahaprabhu's instruction, Rup and Sanatan recreated Vrindavan in a way which becomes attractive for satsanga. And Vaishnavas come and throng in large numbers to Vrindavan and take darshan of, you know, the deities and everything. And therefore, you know, if you actually see Prabhupada's instructions while constructing Juhu, while constructing Krishna Balaram temple, while constructing Mayapur, Prabhupada keeps repeating. And I have quoted in my Vyas Puja offering that I created this for my American disciples to come and they can stay, like Western disciples, so that they have a comfortable place to stay. And so Prabhupada, being Paschata Desha Tarine, was very much conscious of that fact. And therefore Radhanath Maharaj also several times has said that one of the purpose of Juhu guest house was to preach to the Western tourists who come to India. And therefore Govardhan Eco Village also, all the instructions which are valid for Vrindavan, for Juhu, for Mayapur, with respect to connecting with Western people and giving them a proper ambience where Krishna consciousness can be established, that is what we are also trying to do. And then Prabhupada, you know, after Amritsar, when he, and it's a very funny story that from Amritsar to Mumbai, when Prabhupada came by the Golden Temple Express, Golden Temple Mail. So that was, you know, some things have never changed in India. The Indian Railways has been steady like ever. So the Golden Temple Mail in that journey, of course, last time I mentioned how Prabhupada told Gurudas Prabhu to get down in Delhi. Further, one or two stations also, Prabhupada had few people get down. Starter center. You know, it was not just one. And these are all like Western people coming to India for the first time. And Prabhupada was just telling them, starter center here, starter center there. And then there was one 18-year-old girl whose name was Kaushalya Devi. She was also traveling. First time out, she's from Hawaii. Hawaii is like Prabhupada would say that. It's like heavenly planets. And then she was in California and she's coming to Mumbai for the first time. And then Prabhupada and the few devotees were given place to stay in a Ram Mandir. You know, somewhere in Bhuleshwar. It's a pretty crowded place. And so Prabhupada had room, other devotees had their rooms, and then there was a kitchen. So Yamuna Devi had already been dropped with Gurudas Prabhu in Delhi. So Prabhupada said, oh, who will cook? Yamuna is not there. So the only other lady was this Kaushalya Devi. So Prabhupada said, so Kaushalya, you are now the lady here. you will cook. So she said, okay. She entered the kitchen. She had never cooked in life. So half an hour was over, 40 minutes over. Then Prabhupada was not hearing any sound only. So he was thinking, hey, what kind of, you know, absolutely peaceful cooking is going on without any sound. Never heard of soundless cooking. So Prabhupada thought, hey, cooking is going on or silent meditation is going on. So Prabhupada entered and Prabhupada saw that she is just standing there looking at all the pots and all the vegetables and everything. And Prabhupada said, what are you doing? And she said, I thought if I meditate enough long on this, I will get the strength to cook and the ability to cook. So I've just been standing and praying. So Prabhupada said, okay, actually I told you to cook, but actually I will cook and you assist. And then Prabhupada immediately started cooking, and within half an hour he prepared a, you know, 4 or 5 items, and including Gajar Halwa he made on the spot. And in Vrindavan, Prabhupada would cook in a, you know, sigdi with a bucket of water on the side and with all the vegetables and spices kept. And Prabhupada would just, with his whatever little he had, sometimes even when Yamuna Devi was there or Malti Mataji was there, Prabhupada said, no, today I will cook. And on the spot, Prabhupada would start, you know, making. So practically, the devotees had no place to stay. And their first host who received them was a close friend of Nadji, Sri Nadji Prabhu. His name was Kailash Saxeria. So his son's name is Kirtan Saxeria. He's a good friend of Kesho Prabhu. So they, Prabhupada, as soon as these 17 people landed in India on Ram Navami day, they were picked up by this Kailash Saxeria. And Gurudas Prabhu said, what is the identity like that? You are the right guy to pick us up. So he showed Prabhupada's telegram. And Prabhupada's telegram said, 17 people arriving. Gurudas is the leader. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. He showed the telegram. This is the proof. He said, okay, we are coming. So they were in like Marine Drive. Nice bungalow and everything. The devotees were like very comfortable. Nice prasad and everything. So Gurudas Prabhu told the other 17, hey, if we start getting this treatment, we'll get spoiled. So tomorrow we should go for Harinam. So tomorrow, next day in the morning, they all went for Harinam in Bhuleshwar. And then Kailash Saxeria said, oh, you're all first time to India, I cannot leave you alone, I will also come. He came. So along with him, 10 servants also came. And as Harinam is going on, you know, the devotees are sweating, and the servants are bringing silver jug filled with Nimbu Pani and putting in silver cups and giving it to everybody. And all the devotees looked at Gurudas Prabhu, what should we do? But public is watching, kirtan is going on, and 5-star treatment is being given to the, you know. So Gurudas Prabhu said, they'll feel offended, we should take it. So then after they had done kirtan and a crowd, you know, accumulated, so Gurudas Prabhu stopped the kirtan and he said, I'll now give a talk. And he said, we have come from the west, attracted by the spirituality of India, and this is the holy name which has been given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we want all of you to take advantage of this holy name, because we are going around India in our kirtan party, distributing to everybody. Any questions? One guy said, that Seiko watch in your hand, can you sell it to me? How much does it cost? So Gurudas Prabhu was shocked. Said, "Arey, closed eyes, I've sang for 2 hours. And everybody was chanting and dancing, and there was this big crowd, and we were all thinking you're attracted to holy name. And you want my watch?" So then, you know, he was just feeling, when will Prabhupada come and give us some inspiration? And Prabhupada came there. And Prabhupada said that actually you have to just stay here and continue with full enthusiasm, irrespective of whether people accept or not. And then gradually things will change and transform. And you know, when Prabhupada was in Mumbai, one of the brahmacharis, his name was Kshudi Das, his mother came from America to protest, give my son back. So Prabhupada was very kind, gave her a nice place to stay, every day nice prasadam he was giving. And Prabhupada said to her that you have come all the way from America, what do you do? So she said, well, I am a high level advocate. Prabhupada said, oh, I wanted to establish BBT in India. Can you help me with the legal work? So she was taken aback that she has come for another purpose. Prabhupada engaged her and she is the one who helped register BBT in India. And she blessed her son and went. So whatever may be situation, Prabhupada would move like a Ganga. Any rock comes, find your way. And that is what I have seen Radhanath Swami also do. Move like the Ganges. Whatever obstacles may come in the journey, okay, whichever way helps you move ahead, do the needful and make sure that you actually move ahead and make progress like that. So Prabhupada mentioned that without preaching, ISKCON will become rubbish. And Prabhupada said three things he said. If you simply follow the rules which I have given, number two, if you chant regularly, and number three, if you honor and distribute prasadam, if you just do these three things, what are the three things? Follow the rules, chant, and prasadam. Prabhupada said, management will be at your fingertips. Management will be at your fingertips. That is Prabhupada's statement when he came at that particular point in India. So like that, you know, very, very important. And Satswarup Maharaj mentions a very important statement which, you know, I wanted to share with you. And just one more last point I wanted to share about Prabhupada's, in one purport, where Prabhupada has given a salvation manual, as they say, and it's there in Srila Prabhupada's purport. As far as salvation is concerned, one has to conquer lust, anger, unlawful desires, avarice, and bewilderment. Okay, this is, I think, in the Bhishma Dev purport. Okay, let us see your general knowledge. To get freedom from anger, one should learn dash. Huh? To get freedom from anger, one should learn how to forgive. Second, to be free from unlawful desires, one should dash. Huh? Meditate. Raise your hand and speak loudly. Yes, Damodar Prabhu, this is your bhav. Your potency is manifesting. To be free from unlawful desires, one should be fully satisfied. Okay, you be satisfied. One should not make plans. Prabhupada says, to be free from unlawful desires, one should not make plans. Third, by spiritual culture, one is able to conquer, one word, lust, no, huh? Ego, no, avarice, no, sleep. Go back to the purports of Srila Prabhupada. By tolerance, one can conquer dash and dash. By tolerance one can conquer? Huh? Disrespect? No. Illusion? No. Desires and avarice. Greed. Okay. Disturbances from various diseases can be avoided by dash. Regulated diet. Yes, that you got it. One can be free from false hopes by dash. Not engaged in sense gratification. Yeah. Close, but one word. One can be free from false hopes by self-control. Okay, another one. Very interesting. Premanjan, so no. Money can be saved by dash. Money can be saved by using it for Krishna, okay? Not wrong, these are all right. But we want the absolute truth. Proper accounting, okay? Money can be saved by fundraising. By taking help of Radhakund Prabhu. Money can be saved by avoiding undesirable association. Are Baba, Prabhupada is beyond all of us. By avoiding undesirable association. These are all from Bhishma Deva's instructions to Yudhishthira. By practice of yoga, one can control mind, hunger. Although many times we have opposite experience. Okay. Worldliness can be avoided by association, okay, huh? Devotee association, okay, not wrong, huh? Silence, okay, self-satisfaction, okay, good. Culturing knowledge of impermanence, asat ke vishay mein gyan. Dizziness is conquered by rising up. False arguments can be conquered by writing?
Sound logic.
Yeah. Factual ascertainment. Then talkativeness can be avoided by dash and dash. Silence is correct. One more. Gravity, perfect. You got it. By one can avoid fear. One can avoid fear or fearfulness by spiritual knowledge. Depending on Krishna, okay. By prowess. And last in this series is perfect knowledge is obtained by self-cultivation. So, you know, this whole process of sadhana bhakti is meant for this purpose of gradually purifying our anarthas in that association like that. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I'll end with this, makes, you know, a beautiful five vows. Panch vrat lete hain Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Actually he takes one vow. My austere vow is constant devotion. Ahaituki apratihata. Constant devotion is our only vrat. Kya vrat le rahe hain hum log? unbroken devotional service. So he says, constant, my austere woe, the only austerity we have is every moment I am absorbed in devotion. My austere vow is constant devotion to the lotus feet of Sri Hari. In order to execute that vow, I have accepted the following five qualities by my endeavor. What are those five qualities? A. Humility. So two of these qualities are connected, you know. The first quality is connected to your sadhana, three qualities connected to your seva, and one quality is connected to your relation and your outreach. So, I practice great humility in my dealings with everyone. And based on this, trinadapi sunichena taroriva sahishnuna. Without that humility, your chanting cannot improve. Second, he says, simplicity and purity. In what? I try to keep simplicity and purity prominent in all my practical arrangements. All my practical arrangements. I try to keep what? Simplicity and purity. So therefore, humility, simplicity and purity. Simplicity and purity he puts together in the second vow only. Third, he says, tolerance. Because when we are serving, we will need simplicity, we will need purity, and there will be so many difficulties in the service. So we'll need tolerance. I maintain extreme tolerance in all types of favorable and unfavorable circumstances. I maintain extreme tolerance. See the use of the words. I maintain extreme tolerance in all types of favorable, in all types of extreme and all favorable and unfavorable. So then, fourth, he says, I offer my respect unto others, regardless of who they are. Respect. Right? So therefore, simplicity, purity, tolerance and respect is what is required in the Vaishnava Sangha. The first, humility. When I am doing with others, it reflects on my chanting. And then, simplicity, purity, tolerance and respect. And the last, he says, I feel genuine compassion for all living entities and act accordingly. I feel genuine compassion for all living entities. So the vow is constant devotion. To facilitate that vow, Thakur Bhakti Vinod, he accepts these as his diet. So this should be our everyday diet in our practice of bhakti. Humility. Second, simplicity. Third, no, simplicity, purity. Fourth, tolerance. Fifth, respect. And sixth, compassion. So these are the words of Thakur Bhakti Vinod. And our progress in Krishna consciousness depends on Mahajano Yena Gatha Sapantha. So we cannot expect a different result by following some other methodology and still expect the same result. These are non-negotiable terms. humility, purity, simplicity, tolerance, respect and compassion. We have to remember that these are the most crucial elements in our practice. And our mission is constant devotion. Let us not be distracted by any messages coming from the material world via the internet or via the WhatsApp or via the Facebook, which tries to convince us on some other mission. My austere vow, and it's an austerity, to keep yourself focused on constant devotion is the only austerity. All other things come within this. We have only one austerity, constant devotion. And constant devotion to the lotus feet of Sri Hari is our only, one and only austerity. To facilitate that austerity, a million things we will do. But the prominent six things are these values. Without humility, without simplicity, without purity, without tolerance, without respect and without compassion, we cannot expect the result we hope for. So, thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Tagore Premanandi. So, next Sunday, we'll continue.